There it is. That's how we come in. That's how we come in.
That's how we do, babe.
All right. It is the Mitch and Bake Podcast. I am Mitch.
And I am Bake.
Yeah, I had to hit it again for Bake. Yeah.
Yeah, boy.
All right,
that,
all right.
That bass be hitting, boy.
Don't it, though? You feel it.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, dude. So, Bake, it's been a minute, man, but all kinds of stuff has happened in the industry, in the sports industry, all kinds of things, college, pros, off-season NFL. Dude, we got plenty to talk about. We should have called this show therapy, because this may all the stuff I didn't thought about and with sports and talk back to the radio at sports radio. I talk about it right here with you, bro.
Yep.
But you know what? Right before we started, I said, what you want to start with? You said, let's start with them damn movies. So we're gonna start with them damn movies, Bake. And let me tell you something. This is why this brother got an MBA, graduated from Morehouse. When you say, hey, Bake, why don't you look at these movies? Bake go to work. Bake went, he texted me. Oh, I just watched this. I'm about to watch it. Like, damn, bro, I can't watch that.
Yeah, I watched about 3 or 4 movies and like one setting up in this camp.
Gotcha.
I was on and popping, you know what I mean? That thing, you know, the movies were good, dude. You know, and see, Mitch liked to watch, you know, he got an eclectic taste. I have an eclectic taste, but Mitch would sit there and watch that stuff. Me, I'm like, okay, all right. But these movies were dope, man. You know, and I usually don't watch, you know, the movies that, you know, get presented in the Oscars and all that. I don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, but I think I'm going to have to take that up now. See, you know, Mitch always turns me on to things, you know what I'm saying? And then when he turns me on, I take it to another level. Like,
exactly.
Mitch turned me on to Grand Marnier back in the early 90s. And what did I do? I was like, oh, man, that's my thing, you know? I took it over like I introduced him to it. You know what I'm saying? You know, so.
Bruh. So those that you don't know, he's talking about, now, we know the Oscars are over. We know they're over, but before the Oscars, I usually try to watch all the best pictures. All the best pictures. Now, I only watch the ones that are free. I don't go to the movie theater. If they streaming live on one of these Max or Hulu or, you know, Netflix, what, you know, Prime, Amazon, if it's streaming there, I'll watch it. If it's not, then I'm probably going to miss it. So I did it and I told Bake about it, and Bake was like, oh yeah, let's do it. I'll talk about it. So which ones did you actually watch? Which ones did you see?
Oh man, I forgot. I don't even have my list. I saw the one. I think I saw all of them.
You saw all, because I didn't see all of them.
Okay. Only thing I didn't watch was Barbie.
Okay.
And Color Purple.
Color Purple wasn't one anyway. It wasn't nominated for Best Picture. Let me say it wasn't nominated for Best Picture.
Everything else I saw. So what you mean look it up. What was nominated for Best Picture?
Let's take a quick look. Oscars.
Excuse me.
Not a problem, my brother. Oscar nominations 2024. So let's see, Best Picture, Holdovers, American Fiction, Zone of Interest. You said you didn't see Barbie.
Yeah.
Oppenheimer.
I saw Oppenheimer.
Poor Things.
The who?
Poor Things.
I didn't see Poor Things.
Okay. Past Lives.
Nope.
Anatomy of a Fall.
Nope.
Maestro.
Nope.
And Killers of the Flower Moon.
Killers of the Flower Moon. So I saw four of them.
So you saw Holdovers, American Fiction, Oppenheimer, and
Killers of the Flower Moon.
So I had seen Holdovers, American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Past Lives. That's all I saw. I didn't see Killers of the Flower Moon. I just couldn't get through it. So Oppenheimer ended up. I can't watch when you're doing minorities wrong. It's a hard movie for me to watch nowadays. I just can't do it. I got enough stress in my life. I don't need all that.
You sound like the missus. She's like, I can't watch that. I'm like, man, I was all in it. I was like, man.
Dude, I got to go to work and talk to these people. I can't go to work pissed off with my hands clenched. I can't do that. So,
I'll tell you about it.
I didn't see it. But Oppenheimer ended up winning. Out of the ones you saw, which one did you like the best?
Ooh. It's between American Fiction and The Holdovers.
Now, The Holdovers, they didn't win Best Picture, but Old Girl won Best Supporting.
Oh, the sister?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yvonne Randolph.
Yeah.
She won Best Supporting Actress. I liked American Fiction. Holdovers, it was okay. I was like, this is not, I didn't understand. And maybe I just couldn't get into it enough. I don't know. Because, you know, sometimes I'll be watching these, you know, when I'm supposed to be working. Like, I'll be, you know, mm-hmm. doing stuff, and I'll have it on, and I'll, you know, be catching part. And maybe that was it. Maybe I just need to sit down and watch it. Barbie, I mean, it was a decent movie, but is it the best picture? No. I mean, it was okay. It was just, it was a fun, you know, ladies empowerment movie, but I didn't think it was a best picture. Past Lives, which you didn't see. Now, Past Lives was about, it was actually, I think a lot of minorities could relate to it. Definitely a lot of immigrants, because basically Past Lives is about this young lady who was from, I want to say they were from South Korea. Her family was. Mm. They immigrated to Toronto, and then she immigrated to New York as an adult. She immigrated as a kid to Toronto, and then as an adult, she immigrated to New York. Had, you know, big time job, but there was mm-hmm. this dude, wasn't a dude, he was a kid. There was this kid that she knew as a child when she was in South Korea who stayed there, and they finally met up again when she was an adult in New York, and basically it was about how she was so different from a South Korean girl now. Like, she was nothing like the girls back home, you know, she, you know, that kind of thing. So I can see a lot of, like, minority groups who have strong family ties. You know, I mean, even like, I remember when I dated this girl from Jamaica, you know, she wanted to cook like every night, like every single, you know, this, you know, whatever, you know, all the different.
Yeah,
don't get me wrong, the food was good, but dude, Tom wanted a pizza sometimes. But that wasn't, you know, that wasn't her way. Like, she had never even.
It's not her culture.
Yeah, that's not her culture. So she had a strong, they have, Jamaicans, West Indian, people from West Indies, have very strong culture, and that's the best people I could think about, because the way she was and her friends were, they pretty much acted like they were still in Jamaica.
Right.
You know, like the way they lived, the way they ended up raising their kids, stuff like that. So I think that was kind of what that movie's about. It was okay. It was like a minority rom-com, kind of, because she ended up, because when she came to South, when she came to New York, she ended up marrying this white Jewish dude, and then, you know, the dude from South Korea came. And he was like, I can't, you know, he wasn't mad, but he was just kind of like, you know, would you want to come back to South Korea with me? And, you know, she like, nah, I'm big time advertiser. She's like,
yeah, she assimilated.
Yeah, she's assimilated. But in her mind, she did think, you know, if I even went back, I definitely wouldn't be South Korean enough for everybody. You know, I would just be so different. Because, you know, the dude, to her, it was because there, I guess, the kids stay with their parents until they're married. So the dude still lived at home, you know, all that good stuff. So that kind of thing. But anyway, but no, not a best picture. Oppenheimer, I don't know if I liked it because it was a good picture or I liked it because of the
topic. Actual story, the topic.
The actual topic. Because I, you know, I've always been, I'm interested in history. I like to know what actually happened. And maybe I was more interested in, you know, just, okay, so this is what happened behind the scenes. You know, it was crazy, though, and this just shows how stupid I am. I really never thought about how, because it talks about, you know, the after they did the bomb. It talks about leading up to it, the bomb, and then after, and how so many people jumped on him for, you know, making the bomb.
Right.
Like, you made this bomb, and now it's loose, and da-da-da-da-da. But at the time, it was, dude, make this bomb or Germany and Japan gonna get us.
Right, exactly.
But I never realized that it was still so, I mean, of course, I understand nuclear weapons are bad. I understand having too many of them. We got too many. It's, you know, escalating now. We can destroy the world. But dude, at the time, if Germany would have gotten the bomb, we wouldn't be here. They would have bombed the U.S.
like that, like easy.
Germany wouldn't even thought about it.
Right.
Hitler? Oh, yeah, let's bomb them and then we'll just come over and take their land.
Right.
So it was really, I was like, wow, I really never understood how much of a backlash he got personally for it. Oppenheimer did. Yeah. I never realized that. But Oppenheimer, like I said, I don't know.
And what's interesting, most people thought that Einstein created it.
He created a theory.
Yeah.
But he didn't. Nothing to do with the bomb, really.
Right. But you would be surprised how many people thought that Einstein pretty much created the bomb.
Yeah, but no.
No.
He opened the door. Once he figured everything out, that's when he was like, I guess like Sheldon is on Big Bang Theory. He's theoretical. Right. Mm-hmm. Whereas Oppenheimer took his theory and
made it practical.
He applied physics. Yeah. So, and then, you know what? When I see these pictures about how they used to get on communists, I just get like dudes can't get a job because, you know, you a communist. And I mean, it's just like, dang, America is a motherfucker. I mean,
it is.
They'll tell you free.
No. Not if you don't agree with what we agree with.
If you ain't falling in line, you ain't free. But it's just amazing to me how that, you know, how crazy it got at one time. I mean, I guess, you know, I don't understand because I didn't grow up in that time period. I do remember, you know, when we were growing up, it's all about the Cold War, Russia versus the U.S. kind of thing. Right. And I mean, I you know what? I might have been like that, too. I might have been like, communism? Hell no. Because, I mean, I'm a kid. I listen to the propaganda. But well, you know, I really could care less.
Well, you know, what's interesting is, you know, that a lot of black people in the, you know, from the 20s through the 50s, even in the 60s, got caught up, you know, with that because they wanted something different from what, you know, democracy and capitalism provided.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like people like, you know, who is it? You got so many people who were just kind of caught up in that, and they said, oh, you're defying the government. So they lived abroad in Europe or what have you, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting, you know, because what's the idea of communism? It's just all it is sharing. That's it.
Some people don't want to share.
Well, that's
because a lot of people are just like my son. No, that's
they don't want to share. They don't want to share. That's mine. Yeah. This land is my land. It ain't your land. So you know what
exactly.
I'm saying?
Like a lot of people don't want to share. Which yeah,
and that's,
yeah.
And that's the idea of capitalism.
The sharing thing sounds great, but human nature is not sharing. That's not how we're built.
You don't think so?
No, human nature. So
I think human nature is sharing, but you have those who are like, oh, hell no, I ain't sharing. You always going to have somebody who's different.
Human nature is I'm going to get, however you do it, I'm going to get it. Like whether that be through nice ways, like I'm just going to work harder than everybody else so I can have more, or I'm going to do it evil and I'm just going to take it in some kind
of sneaky
way.
Take it and kill you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, either way, that's the human nature. Like I'm, you know,
human nature is. Is that truly human nature, or is that just, you know?
Well, you know, when I was younger, like if me and you had been talking about this when in our late teens, early 20s, like, yeah, that's, you know, come together. You know, we all work as one. But as a parent, screw that shit, dude. I'm working my ass so my kids can eat. So
is that just conditioning? Or is that actual nature? That's what I'm saying. Because if you think about it, I mean, you know, in some many different areas that, you know, areas of the world that works, you know, they're sharing, you know, what is communism, whatever, socialism, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Then, you know, but with the Western culture, especially European culture, it's more so about, oh, no. We're not sharing shit. And whatever I got to do to get this, take this from you, I'm going to do it. And that's the whole thing. Because when you think about it, look, it happened with the Killers of the Flower Moon. That's exactly what that was about. Mm-hmm. They devised a plan to systematically kill these Native Americans so they can get their rights to their property and everything and get that money and do whatever. I mean, there's people you see on TV today, whether cooking shows, what have you, who own this land because of what their forefathers did to get the land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, but they come back and say, I worked hard for this land. Yeah, you worked hard to kill some MFs get this land and take it from them. You know what I'm saying? So you didn't. Yeah, you worked hard devising, your people worked hard devising the plan. Now you're benefiting from it. That's why, you know, there should be, you know, but that's a whole nother topic. But there should be some things coming back to the Black people and Native Americans because of what these people have done back in the day.
Now,
wait a minute, hold on. Not just back in the day, they still do it.
This is the thing. I truly believe if you can show a line legally, because that's the only way it's ever going to happen. People can talk about it, whatever. But if you can show a line, like some of the universities, you can show a line of this is what this university did, slavery, whatever, and they are, you know, they pay, you know, some of them are, pay their reparations. But unless you can do a legal line, like you can say, I know who Massa was in my dad's plantation or my great-great-grandfather's plantation. His name was so-and-so. He still has an estate. Yes, then that's something you can do. But otherwise, move on with your life. We ain't getting shit.
So in Germany, there was reparations. They had reparations. I don't think you can draw a line, Tommy.
Because Germany, even though it was legal to have slaves in the United States, the United States did not own slaves. Germany, the government is the one that was killing people. So that's a little different. Now, if
the government has killed people here, what are you talking about?
Okay, I got you, but you know what I'm saying. The government, no. And we figured, yeah, the government was killing people. The United States. Now, if there had been slaves in the White House,
the government killed people. The government killed people. They killed Native Americans. They killed Black people. They killed some everybody. The government killed, and then they still perpetuated that from the 60s through the 90s to the day.
Yes.
The government killed people. They had, wait a minute, you're trying to tell me when they was talking about the war on drugs? Yeah, it was a war on drugs. Yeah, we're going to war these. It was a war on drugs, all right. It was a war on Black people and with drugs.
First off, that's a misnomer. There wasn't no war. It was, hey, get the drugs to the Black people. That's all that was. There was no war. They weren't fighting anybody's war.
No, they weren't fighting nobody. I mean, and who was targeted? The people who was bringing the stuff in weren't targeted because how could they? Because they were bringing it in. So, you know.
Because but people didn't pay. It was all a money thing.
Everybody. Exactly. So, you know, what that's
you
the whole.
If you're going to build prisons, what you need to put in the prison?
People.
Which one you going to put in? You going to put in the white boy or your brother?
You're gonna put
on the white boy whose parents actually have some pool, or you're gonna put in the brother whose parents never finished high school?
Or either the poor white person who don't have any pool as well.
Exactly.
You know,
so it was a lot of economics, but unfortunately the economics always work worse for us. All right. So
all right, yeah, we're going down the rabbit hole.
Yeah. So out of the movies you saw, you said The Holdovers.
Man, I enjoyed The Holdovers. Actually, American Fiction. I might have to move to American Fiction. Holdovers was just so, to me, it was gripping, you know? It just kind of really pulled me in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in Boston,
so you probably like, oh, I know where that is.
Yeah, I know where this is, know that is, you know? But, you know, I think that it's just an interesting story. And actually, it's an age-old story in a sense. I mean, they had the formula right. They got the formula right. And they had the right actors. They had everything. They got the formula right.
Yeah.
Now, American Fiction, actually, that's like 1A, 1B. And depending on when I'm talking about it, I might put American Fiction first. But I think American Fiction was really dope. That was a dope. Because you think about how our culture or Black people are viewed in the United States, and when we put something out, you know what sells in a what sells they what sells. You think about hip hop sells. In the 90s, we had all types of hip hop, right?
Mm-hmm.
a variety of eclectic type artists and everything. Now it's just whatever it is. It is now. It's just, you know, it's just straight. There's no variation. And that's what sells. So, you know, when the brother had to write a book, you know, using all kind of slang and stereotypes and everything like that, based on what he saw the sister do, and it sold, he was like, but, you know.
You know, it's crazy because it did ask two questions.
Yeah.
One question was, you know, like you said, he did the fake book with, you know, his fake persona as, you know, an ex-con and, you know, yeah, all that good stuff. And it sold.
I kill it, my brother.
And, but on the flip side, Issa Rae's character's like, I don't see the problem. If that's what people want to read,
that's what I'm gonna write.
What's the problem with selling books? Isn't that the name of the game?
Right.
Whereas his was, no, it's about the, you know, the art. Look, what was that movie that was? It was another one. It was another movie about black people getting beat or something. It was something. I didn't go see it. But I remember I was on Instagram and this dude was just going off talking about how black people will go to all these other kind of movies. They won't go see the movie they really need to go see. And I was kind of like, you know, screw you, dude. I go what I want. I mean, when I go to a movie, I want to be entertained.
Right.
Sometimes I want to know history. Sometimes I just want to laugh. Because this world out here is crazy. And so I want to be entertained. I want to leave that stress outside. I love you too, son. I want to leave that stress outside. So I don't want to see a movie about us getting beat in the 60s or us getting beat in the 90s or us getting beat in the 2000s. Maybe I don't want to see that. Because if I want to see that, I can turn on the news. So that's why I was kind of like, I understand her point of view too. Hey, yeah, this is what people want to read. It's escapism. They want to read that kind of stuff to escape from their... Why do you think reality TV is so popular?
Oh, man. Yeah, yeah.
Because it's trash, right, but right, it's escapism. You looking into somebody else's life. Now, I will say this. It's escapism for people our age and, you know, maybe in their 30s. But I really think reality TV should not be allowed to be watching anybody under 29. If you're under 29, you should not be allowed to watch reality TV.
Why?
In my opinion. Because reality TV is not reality. But people in their 20s who don't know yet that that's not reality start to think that this is, it normalizes that kind of behavior.
Right. Yeah.
Just like you ever hear Dr. Dre say, man, I want to make songs to make people drive faster. And in my 20s, when I used to listen to Dre, I used to drive faster. I used to drive faster, talk crazy, whatever, because I love that music. But luckily, I made it through that part of my life. And now, if I hear Dre, it's a good song, but yeah, I'm not going to drive faster. I'm going to get where I need to go, but
yeah.
I ain't gonna get a ticket for it.
Well, I don't know. When I was listening to Dre, I was probably smoking, so I was driving slower. Well, anyway, that's another story. I ain't gonna go down that.
But anyway, so that with American Fiction, that's kind of the two questions. So I liked it. Number one, I liked it because I liked that actor. That dude then played every kind of character. That fool played a robot. That dude was in Shaft. He was what was his name? He was a gangster in the Shaft, not old school Shaft, but the modern Shaft.
Yeah. With Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, with Samuel Jackson. He was...
Yeah.
And if you... Hold on. Trey.
I'm hungry.
Go sit down. Or go to mom. Okay, I'm back. But yeah, so... I understand what she was saying, but also, cause that's the reason why I liked American Fiction, because I think I like that actor too. Because he does it, no matter what his role is, he does a great job. Yeah, he does a great job. Yeah.
He was dope.
If Oppenheimer was not out this year, he would have won Best Actor easily.
I think so. I really think so. Old boy had, the guy Oppenheimer had to win because that was like a 5-hour movie. It was just like, a whole heat.
Dude, we gotta get that to him. That's a lot of work.
That's a lot of work, man. That's the only reason, you know, that was, you know, and it did get kind of boring here and there, but
Oppenheimer, yeah.
You know, it took a lot out of me, but it was good. But also looking at his life, the love interest, you know, he was, you know, I guess he was on either Martha's Vineyard, wherever he was.
Yeah.
Supposedly, and you know, because that's his family house or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, because there's just so many different layers to him, you know, and how he grew up and what have you, and just seeing the dynamics with his brother, you know, and everything. So it's just, you know, very interesting. You know, we have some complicated lives in the sense that we can't, you know, as black men or black people, we can't always truly be. Which is why I'm trying to convince my son to go to Howard so he can spend 4 years just to be him. Just be before you got to get out of here and just do everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just be. And that's, you know, in a way that's kind of sad.
You know?
So I really enjoyed the movie. And I think that's probably what struck me about the holdovers as well. You know, you have people who they couldn't just really be. And with, you know, with the guy who, and I love this actor, you know, who was there, you know, watching the holdovers or the people who had to stay during the Christmas break.
Yeah, whatever. I like him too. Yeah.
He's a great actor.
Yeah.
You know, he had his own isms and then, you know, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it yet, you know, he never graduated from college.
Yeah. Because of some bullshit.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And what have you. So, and then the lady, her son, you know, was taken away from her, you know, and he died. So,
yeah.
It's just so many.
Both those movies had a lot going on in the background besides the main story. Had a lot going on in the background.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
That went along with the story. And honestly, that is how life is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Life ain't just one storyline.
No.
Dude,
no,
you got about 5-6 storylines going on at the same time. So,
oh man, it's multidimensional.
Exactly. Exactly. So
So that's why, you know, and I like movies like that. I'm gonna tell you the movies that I like are like kind of like the psychological type thrillers.
Mm.
They kind of it takes you so deep. And then, you know, it just screws you up in all types of ways. So it's like, I like those. I like action movies. I like rom-com. I like it all, really. I don't, you know, I got an eclectic taste for movies. It just depends on what mood I'm in.
Yeah.
And I was in the mood just to see all those movies that weekend, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I would definitely recommend American Fiction. I would definitely recommend The Holdovers. Oppenheimer, if you like history, I would recommend Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Barbie, sit your kids with you because it's a wacky movie.
My teenage Wilson and his friends went to go see Barbie.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, if I was a teenager, I'd probably go on
probably
too.
Probably go too. Yeah, exactly.
There'd probably be a lot of ladies there, so, you know.
Yeah. That's how we did, Tom.
Yeah, exactly. We see Color Purple. Not Color Purple. We didn't see Purple Rain.
Oh,
Well, remember we see Fashion Square Mall.
Yeah.
We saw
Color Purple at Fashion Square Mall too.
Okay. Well, I mean, yeah. I guess that's where you, besides Fashion Square, I guess it was the Winter Park Theater was the only other theater really.
Yeah.
That was around close to us anyway.
Right.
At the time before they opened up, you know, all these megaplexes. But so that's my recommendations, but I get you. I think we're on the same page with most of these movies. You know, if anything else comes out, cause I was trying to think, cause I was talking to you the other day. I was trying to think of what it was. It was something on TV that I want to talk to you about, but I've forgotten. But I'm sure I'll think of it eventually and be like, yeah, let me tell Bake about this one, and we'll discuss it.
And for everybody who don't know, this past Friday was Tommy's birthday. I ain't going to give an age. Everybody know the fool old. You know what
old.
I'm saying? And you grew your hair out, man. Your hair grew out.
I've been growing it out for like weeks. Dude, I probably hadn't had a haircut in a month. Almost.
Oh, months, that's probably. What it is. Yeah, I'm like, yeah. Yo, Tommy.
I grew it out because I'm thinking about going to the. You know, I just cut my own. You know, I just shave it.
Yeah,
but I'm thinking about going to the bar because you know I got to take Trey to the barber, so So I was like, one day I was in there and this dude was with his kid and he let his kid get a cut. Then he get in a chair and get a cut. I was like, you know what? Since I got to be here anyway, that's the main reason I don't go to the barbershop, because I hate waiting. I hate sitting and waiting. But this guy's appointments. No, this guy is.
Okay.
Well, the last time I went to the barbershop, nobody took appointments. You just showed up. It was for COVID. You know, you just showed up. And how many you got? I got four. Okay. But of course, this guy's appointments that we work with now, shit, I was like, shoot, I might as well start getting cuts again. So I grew it out. So if I want to get a fade or if I want to do something with it, I can. I don't know. You might see me next time. I just shaved off. I've got a lot of patience.
Well, you know, Tom, I haven't waited, just showed up at a barbershop and waited. COVID is when I shaved my head and I'm shaving it. Before then, I always had appointments. I don't know what Jack Led Barbers you was going to, because I was doing appointments since the 90s.
Mm-mm, no appointments. Okay. When did I start shaving my head? I've probably been shaving my head since how long? Dude, yeah, it's probably, when did I move to Atlanta in 96?
Yeah.
So I probably started shaving my head in 98.
Damn, yeah, really?
I've been shaving my head a long time. But I don't really shave it bald. I just shave it low.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's just, I just been doing it. Cause I just, when I moved to Atlanta, I couldn't find a barber. You know, I didn't know one. That's what it was. Coop used to cut hair. Coop, my room, you know.
Yeah. Coopaloo.
Yeah. He used to cut hair. And that's why I didn't, cause Coop would come and cut my hair. And then when did he stop cutting my hair? I guess when he moved back to Florida, maybe. Or no, when he got married, I guess is when, you know. He stopped being able to come cut my hair. So that's when I just started cutting myself.
But see, you know, you could grow your hair. But see, Tommy, you was the kind, you put mousse in your hair.
And yeah, that shit worked. Yeah, I ain't gonna lie.
You could put mousse. I could put mousse
in gel. Those were nothing but oils and berries. They ain't but natural oils and berries.
You put some mousse in your hair. See, most black people can't put mousse in their hair. Or more melanated black people. A little thicker, a little coarser.
That ain't nothing but natural juices.
I put natural juices. My shit just kinky up a little bit, but you know him. He you know, he would like, you know, he put that stuff in his hair and that shit just wave up.
That
and
ain't
curl
nothing
up
but natural and juices and berries.
And he shake his hair like AKA and shit. You know.
You know what I'm saying? You a fool.
You know. Oh, boy. Oh, okay. He's like one of them Al B. Sure types. You know what I'm saying?
You know, you just throw a little water. Talking about Al B. Sure. Did you see? Because, you know, Diddy going through it right now. Look, I ain't saying he guilty. I'm not saying he not guilty. I don't know. This is all I got to say about it. I noticed this years ago. Uh-oh. Everybody that leaves Diddy goes gospel. They go straight to the church.
Everybody that leaves him goes straight to the church.
Dude, they go get saved right away.
Right then.
So I don't know what the hell Diddy do.
Diddy.
But, and when he, that first lawsuit from the young girl that he was dating, I can't remember her name. She ended up leaving him for her personal trainer. And she was like, Diddy would make me have threesomes and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And he settled. That's when I knew. When somebody's talking about you like that, and then you go, you know what, let me just give her this money so she shut up. And then the next person popped out.
But that doesn't mean you're guilty.
Dude. If you are P. Diddy, you got enough money to fight her.
Sometimes people write checks just to make them go away, even though they're not guilty. That happens quite a bit, Tommy. Now, I'm not defending P. Diddy because I'm not a P. Diddy apologist. I don't really give a fuck because what he eat don't make me shit. So, you know what I'm saying? Like Jay-Z said. So, you know, that's not my steal. But, you know, if they was kicking it with P. Diddy and they went to church, then P. Diddy, I don't know if T.D. Jakes had anything to do with it because he brought the church with him now. You're like, y'all can't go nowhere. Y'all can't go nowhere. You going to leave me go to church? No, I'm bringing church right here.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I just, when all this came out, I was like, Because I used to say that all the time. I was like, damn, everybody leave P. Diddy, go straight to the church. Straight they to go the church. Anyway, except 50. 50 the only one that didn't go to church. Anyway, so talking about Al B. Sure, you know Diddy adopted or claims fatherhood of Al B. Sure's son.
Huh?
Yeah, Al B. Sure got Kim, Diddy's oldest girlfriend, the one who passed away.
Yeah.
Got her pregnant. Diddy claimed the kid. The kid looked just like Al B. Sure. And at some point they confirmed, yeah, it's actually Al B. Sure's son, but Diddy takes care of him. Diddy's first kid with the curly hair that looks nothing like Diddy.
Right, I know.
That's Al B. Sure's son.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But Diddy has always taken care of him. Al B. Sure, after all this stuff came out, Al B. Sure shot out I don't know if it's on Twitter or where it was, but he shot out a message like, hey, son, door's always open. Like, hey, if you need to get out of there, you can't come home.
I mean, well, it's not too late. But
I mean, he's a grown man at this point, so.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, now that he want to shout out,
now don't get me wrong. From what I can tell, Al B. Sure was in his life. Like, they did, but Diddy was basically, he was on Diddy's taxes, not Al B. Sure's taxes.
Because he was the stepfather.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I get it.
But I think in the beginning, like when he was born, they thought it was Diddy's kid. Or she really didn't know because she was playing both sides against each other.
But once that dude, she saw that curly
hair.
Yeah,
once that hair came in, they were like, oh.
I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, wait a minute, you need a DNA, something up in this
Diddy
camp.
And Kim are both dark skinned. Boy is light skinned.
See, what I be doing when that baby born, like they always teach you, look at the ears.
Is that what it is? Is the ears?
You look at the ear, look behind the ears. And then you can tell what's going on.
Oh my God. Anyway.
It's rough out here for.
Yeah. But the Diddy thing, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why they would be coming after him. Now, there is a thing that happens when black men start to do something. Like if they're trying to buy something up. Like Cosby. Remember back in the day when Cosby was trying to buy NBC? Like, it was years ago. Like, back when he was the man.
Yeah.
That's actually when all that rape stuff first started coming out. And he backed off.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know if Diddy's trying to buy something, and that's why all of a sudden all this... Or it could just be, look, dude, you're doing wrong, and this is what's going to happen to you. Now, let me just say this before anybody goes, well, it came out. If it's wrong, it's wrong. I'm with you. I don't give a damn if why it came out. If you did something wrong, you did something wrong. Don't tell me, it's just coming out because I'm trying to do this. I don't give a crap. You did wrong, so.
It did wrong.
Yeah, you did wrong.
But both things can be true.
Yeah, you're right. Both things can be true.
You know, because a lot of times when you see black people, you know, they starting to acquire major assets, then, you know, stuff come out.
Yeah, that's when and people stuff start going. Dirt. And I mean, it ain't always the other person, the other side of the coin. That, you know, it ain't always them pulling it out on us. It could be us putting out on each other.
Or it could be somebody putting us up to do it. I mean, I've seen all kinds of stuff go on.
Yes.
It's rough out here, man.
It is. And it's very rough.
It's, you know, so that's why, you know, we don't play by the same rules. That's all that is.
Yeah.
The same rules don't apply to us.
Unless you marry. If you marry a white girl, usually you can slide.
No, you can't slide. That's the myth.
What? That's what.
Who you
what know? Is, oh, Club Shay Shay. What's his name?
Who?
The comic that was on there. He said.
He said,
if you sign up for this, you get a light-skinned wife. And a TV deal.
Right. And that's what they got. They got some light-skinned wives. Was he lying about that?
He wasn't. Because he named it. I was like, damn, you ain't lying.
He ain't lying. No. No, he wasn't lying, man.
Now.
Oh, okay.
Before we get into sports. Well, this is kind of sports. O.J. Simpson. Gone.
Now you had to go there, and I'm gonna tell you.
I'm gonna tell you something, man.
And your audience ain't gonna like this. Y'all ain't gonna like it. I'm about to say it. Y'all ain't gonna like it. I'm moving stuff around like I'm a preacher right up here in the pulpit. You know, when he about to say something deep, you know what I'm saying? Move his papers around, get his eyeglasses right. Man, OJ was one of the baddest dudes to ever run the damn rock.
Oh, ain't nobody. I don't think anybody's gonna deny it.
I grew up. You knew how I grew up an OJ Simpson fan. And I was mad that one Christmas I came to your house and you had that OJ Simpson doll. With the removable helmet. You saw his face and everything, man. I was mad as hell. I went home mad, talking smack to my mom and dad. They're like, you know you don't need to go over to Tommy's house no more. You know what I'm saying? I almost got a whooping that day.
Dude, I do remember that O.J. Simpson doll, dude. I do remember that. It was a Buffalo uniform. Had the helmet.
It was the white jersey with the blue pants.
Yeah.
It was dope, man.
Dude, I know.
OJ was the baddest to me. I mean, if he had a team, he was actually a really good team, he would have been the rawest running back ever.
I mean, in today's NFL, OJ would have won at least 3 Super Bowls. Cause somebody would have got him. But that's not a hot take. But everybody knows he's great. Even like when he died, even like the white pot sportscasters were like, OJ Simpson died, blah, blah. You know, they were trying to keep it low key, but they were like, yeah, he was the greatest running back of all times when he played. But, you know, you got to talk about this, the second part of it. Now, I am not an OJ fan. I mean, I ain't gonna lie, when he got off, you know, I was like, and it was more of a thank you, one of our black gods is not gonna spend the rest of his life in jail or is not gonna go to the lecture. Pretty much that's what I thought. Because, I mean, everybody knows, if he didn't kill them people, he knew who killed them.
He knew something.
He knew something. He knew something. He wasn't telling. Something. Everybody knew.
Right. Everybody
As I've
knew
gotten
that.
Older, I have less and less. I've never tried to defend him, but I have less and less even, you know, wanted to talk about him because, I mean, dude, if OJ killed somebody in your family, you wouldn't be taking him to court. Y'all be trying to go kill that fool. Straight and simple.
And this is where I know people, and this is a sensitive topic, especially when you're talking about domestic abuse. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me, and you know, the family was so Nicole, he was abusing her and the family knew, but they was accepting the money from him, right? Or she.
But you can't, it don't matter. It doesn't matter who was accepting money. It doesn't matter if he was beating on her. I don't care if you slap her and every time you slap her, you handed them $1,000. I don't give, and you took it. I don't care. That still don't give you the right to kill somebody's relative. It don't give you the right to hit nobody.
It doesn't. But I'm seeing, if it was my sister, I'm definitely stepping in that situation. Now, I can't force my sister to leave the person. And therein lies the rub.
Yeah.
You can't force anybody to leave. You can step in, you can try to help. And I've seen and witnessed domestic violence, you know, and it's not a pretty thing. But it's just something in me says, how can you just let that happen and not intervene in some kind of way? I don't know if they called the police. I don't know what they've done. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But all I know is that, you know, they knew about it. It went on, and then it led to this tragic loss of her and one of her best friends that got murdered. And, you know, and that hurts. And I'm thinking about my own life and my own family. How would I handle that if I knew a close family member is getting abused like that? Mm. And personally, I would have to step in some, because I'd probably be in jail myself.
Exactly. I mean, you just, so, and, you know, I think about my kids and, you know, I just know. So as far as, you know, the murder, him murdering people and the domestic abuse, I mean, he did the football thing, but I'm not building him no bronze statues. Let me put it that way.
Oh, no, yeah. Not at all. Not
so,
at all.
But anyway, he passed away. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I know a lot of people, a lot of sportscasters were like, I don't wish his death, but at least he's resting now. You know, that's kind of how mm-hmm. I felt when Michael Jackson passed away. Good. Yeah. Nobody can really fuck with you no more. Right. You know, he's resting now. So that's yeah. that's kind of the way I feel about it. Honestly, you know what got me with OJ? Is when he got off, then this fool is up there holding people at gunpoint trying to get his memorabilia back. What the hell is wrong with you, man? And you right now you really in jail. So
yeah, but the judge went overboard on this sentencing, trying to get back for you know, the murders and all that. OJ was a troubled person.
Yeah, no, yeah.
He was troubled. Yeah. You know, after he got off, he was messed up in the head. He spent, you know, a couple years in prison while he was on trial or whatever, all that. He was troubled.
Well, he was troubled before. I mean, he was troubled before that. He was troubled when he was beating on Nicole. He was troubled when he was murdering them. He was a troubled man. You know, he had two families.
Yeah.
The woman that started with him, I didn't know his daughter, but she hung in the same crowds that I hung in at Howard. So I knew her that kind of way. Like, I wasn't, like, friends with her. But, you know, we'd be at the same parties, whatever. Nice, very cool, very laid back, cool kid. She never really talked about him that much. Just one time, I think we were watching a game, and he was announcing, and he said something to the fact, hey, yeah, it was a DC game, like the Redskins. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say Redskins. The, what are they called? Commanders?
Yeah.
The Commanders. He was doing a game for him, and he said, you know, yeah, my daughter goes to school here. So we went out to, you know, and everybody like laughed. Like, your dad took you to dinner. You know, that kind of stuff. And then he had Nicole and the other two kids or whatever.
Right.
So, you know, he's...
Man, I did a book report on OJ in the third grade.
I bet you did.
I did a book report, mm-hmm. man. That thing, but I don't know how thick, man. I had all the pictures cut out from Ebony, Jet Magazine, him and his family, his house, cars, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was writing, you know, the dude ran for 2,003 yards back in the day without a passing game. He had a decent offensive line. But, you know, they had a terrible football team, and in 14 games, not 16, not including playoffs, mm-mm. this fool rushed for 2,003 yards in 14 games. He was a raw dog, man.
Yeah, he was. He was.
But, I mean, I love Eric Dickerson, mm-hmm. Emmitt Smith, Walter Payton. The only person to me that is ahead of OJ when it comes to running that pill, even Barry Sanders or whomever you want to say, only other person I can think of was that fool who ran for the Cleveland Browns, who started off Brown.
That boy, Jim Brown.
That's about it.
That's a bad
That's
boy.
The only person. Other than that, you can't tell. I mean, I love me some Earl Campbell. That's probably my second favorite running back of all
just
time.
Just didn't have, you mean the way he pounded, he just couldn't, he didn't have longevity.
No.
Yeah, he just couldn't. Because the way he ran, just made, you know, you can't take that kind of pounding.
But the juice was fast and powerful.
Yeah.
He'll run you over and run around you.
Yes, indeedy. But
anyway.
Yeah, I just wanted, you know, quick note about OJ. Let's talk about some, this. We in a, well, did you watch any of the March Madness? Because neither one of our teams won.
None of them. Neither one.
Yeah. I don't know why I didn't pick UConn. Because, I mean, they've been they've been rolling over people all year. I don't know why I wouldn't think that they would just keep doing it in the, game of 68 in the March Madness. So, and I did pick South Carolina, Dawn Staley. I knew they were going to go under.
Yeah.
I didn't see any other team that could beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think you had stars on some of these other teams, but as a complete team, yeah, you weren't beating South Carolina.
Yeah, I picked the wrong UConn team to win. I went with Gino Auriemma, and I should have went with old boy, you know. But so I picked the wrong UConn. But that's amazing to have two teams in the Final Four.
Yeah.
From your school.
Yeah.
That's dope.
That is.
Gino is a bad boy, man.
Yeah, he is. But you can't. He can't out recruit Don. He can't. Not anymore. Yeah,
Not now.
Yeah, he can't out recruit Don Staley. She has figured it out because they lost so many players, stars, not just players. They lost so many stars last year, and she just, all right, y'all, let's roll this ball out. Let's keep it rolling.
Yeah, but she also knows how to use the transfer portal.
Yeah.
Because she got a couple sisters from the transfer portal.
Yeah.
To give them shooting and to do this and to do that. So she's working it. But, you know, the story about Don, and I don't know how true this is, you know, because, you know, I heard it through the grapevine, but they were saying that a couple boosters or whomever went up to Don was like, your team is a little bit too black. Can you add at least, you know, some people on the bench or something like that? And from what I understand, she relented and did. So, I get it. And she didn't have to do it because she's going to be like, what? Oh, okay. I'll go to Spelman.
Yeah, and
I'll go to Spelman and win a national. Exactly. Yeah, I'll get them a national chip. You know,
She took a nothing program.
Right.
And turned it into the greatest. Well, they're still behind Tennessee. But by the time she leaves, if she wants to coach that long. Honestly, the main reason I think a lot of records want to be broken, because of the money. There's so much money in it now, I just don't think people are going to do it as long as people would do it back in the day.
Well, she's behind Tennessee and UConn.
Okay.
Remember, UConn is at the top when it comes to championships and wins.
Yeah.
Then it's Tennessee. And I think Don might be able to catch him. She might be able, but you're right. It's probably too much money in it.
It's too much money. It's a transfer portal. It's a lot now to do that. Now she does it. Hey, more power to you. But I think it's just people now think more about their lives than their job. I think this, you know, the generations that are coming up now think more about their lives. Why? Look at these head football coaches. Why am I stressing myself out like this? Like, look, let me go be a coordinator, and I ain't got to worry about this crap no more. Let me just go back to doing the X's and O's, and I ain't got to worry about all this other stuff anymore.
Oh, well, let's be clear, Tommy. Most of these, you talking about college coaches?
Yeah.
How many college coaches have stepped down?
At least three that I can think of off the top of my head.
Step down. So Lake probably got fired, other ones, but not too many of them stepping. They ain't moving away from that money. That's too much. Again,
because
that's too much money.
You can go to a bigger school and get just as much money as a coordinator now. Now, the only big one is UCLA, which he might have been on his way out anyway. Who knows?
Right.
But I guarantee you the boosters were like, this motherfucker then left. That doesn't look good on your program when the head coach like, all right, I'm going to go be an OC for Ohio State and win me some championships. Screw this.
I mean, UCLA ain't doing nothing anyway. But besides Nick Saban, who else stepped down just to step down? And the guy from UCLA. We don't know if he was about to be out anyway. You're not going to find too many people stepping down, Tommy.
If you can make the same amount of money, if you're at a lower school and you can go be a coordinator, you're the head coach at a lower school, like FAM or like Georgia State, you're at a lower school and you can go be a coordinator at another school for the same money.
That's different. That's a step up in weight class.
Yeah, but you're still not a head coach.
But if I was the head coach at Morehouse, and then you call me up talking about I'm making $100,000 at Morehouse, and then you call me up, oh yeah, we're gonna give you about $350,000.
Okay, now you talking about Morehouse.
You said FAMU.
Yeah, but FAMU paying more than $100,000 to their coach.
Okay, they might pay $150,000-$200,000.
Anyway, yeah, that's probably about right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean,
now, and then you go $350,000? Oh, I'm out.
But anyway, we're getting off topic. My whole point is I don't think Don Staley's going to coach long enough to catch the big two. Geno and I can't remember her name from Tennessee.
Yeah, Pat Summitt.
Yeah, Pat Summitt.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Pat Summitt had her run. Geno's had his run. You know, I mean.
I've heard analysts throw this out, and if I was Don Staley, I would really consider if it was real. And if she had the power and the money to go along with it. Man, if an NBA team called her up, would you take it? I would love to see Don Staley coaching the NBA.
I would too. And somebody like Don would probably be the best person for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She'll be like Jackie Robinson. Yeah, she can manage.
The best person. I'm sure WNBA teams have already approached her and she just was.
Nah. Yeah. I wouldn't leave college and make that money to go coach in the WNBA. I wouldn't. But the NBA, shoot, man. And they need it. They need her because you know what? Don Staley need to go to the NBA and cut some of these fools out. These fools, I'm serious, man. These fools, they so coddled. They need to be coached. And it would be great to see her in the NBA.
Yeah, well, it was a team that they said, and I can't remember who it is now. Detroit? See, that's the problem. I wouldn't want her to go coach Detroit. Now, she might not be afraid to. I wouldn't want her to.
I wouldn't want her to go coach Detroit.
But that's going to be the team that she... That's a team that would get her because, number one, Don Staley put butts in seats.
You know what? If Mazzulla don't do what he need to do with Boston, they need to call her ass up. Don, I know the weather's right in South Cackalack, but you know, up here in Beantown, oh, we got it going on. Beantown, if she coached the Celtics, they'll win a chip. I'm telling you right now, I'm the first one to say it. If Don Staley coached the damn Celtics, we getting the chip.
Yeah, you dreaming. That's not.
No, I ain't
dreaming. Yeah, you are. That's not going to happen. It's not. Y'all, I said racist, homophobic, gender something, Bostoners. What's this cat said? This cat said, I used to live in a racist part of Boston. It was called Boston.
Mitch, do you understand Massachusetts was the first place where they allow homosexual marriage, gay marriage?
Wonderful. That's great.
So
Boston is not Massachusetts. It's in Massachusetts.
And Boston, let me tell you something else. Boston is no more racist than any other city, major city in the United States. No, it's not. I'm here to tell you. Orlando got Boston whipped as far as when it comes to racism. Got
they
it.
Might. They
might. Yeah, not a might. I can name a few other cities. It's just that, you know, yes, there is that stigma there. There's some things that went on. There's some parts of Boston people don't travel to, but not anymore. Not as much. But I can name cities right now. They like, oh, you can't go to that part of town. No, you know what I'm saying? So Boston gets that rap. I understand it. And, you know, actually, I've experienced some of it. You know, Boston,
I experienced racism in Atlanta, the blackest city there is. But I'm in D.C., another black city. Yes, yes, racism is everywhere. Racism is inbred. In human society, there was racism when there was only one color on the earth. So it is what it is.
Well, you can't have racism when there's only one color on the earth.
Why? There's racism with the same color.
Well, you know, you got
you all look alike, but you still can be a different race.
Well, you can be prejudiced, you can be whatever, but you got to understand the total definition of racism.
Okay, Morehouse, fine. There was prejudiced people even when there was only one color. Is that all right with you?
Bigotry, prejudice, but we throw racism on everything that really should be prejudice or bigotry.
Trust me, on my other podcast that I do, the young lady's younger than I am, and you know she and that they think they're feeling the worst racism ever felt in the world. Like, dude, what did Chris Rock say? Shoot, back in the day, you worried about getting a taxi? Shit, you were the taxi.
Yeah.
I mean. You know, the kind of stories we used to hear from our parents.
Oh, right.
You know,
yeah.
They worry about, oh, I can't get a VP job. What the hell are you talking about, dude? You couldn't get in the building back in the day. What are you talking about? Not to say it's not racism, but don't try to say, oh, it's worse than it's ever been, because it's not.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Back
so Don Staley going to Detroit, going to win a chip. Don Staley going to Boston, I don't think so.
Going to Detroit, win a chip.
They got to have at least 5 lottery picks on that team. Eventually, they got to get good.
Wait a minute. You trying to tell me with Porzingis, Jason, and the cast of fools they got, if she go there?
Oh, saying she's never going to be the coach of Boston. If she's going to be a coach, she's going to be a coach of a team like Detroit. Who else got lottery picks this year?
I understand what you say. I hear you. Okay,
shoot, I would love. You know where Don Staley would shine?
Orlando.
Atlanta. South Carolina doesn't have a professional team. You bring her to Atlanta? Dude, eat it up as if she was a Hawks coach.
That'd be a disaster.
Why is it a disaster?
The people would love her, the culture would love her, but that team and that everything, that ain't gonna work.
The team got to get straightened out. But she ain't going to a team. Yeah. Like I said, she's not going to a Boston. She's not.
You don't know that.
Yes, I do. If they're going to take her, she's going to a team that needs a draw.
I'm going to holler at my boy, the GM up here, and be like, if Mazzulla can't get it done this year, I'm going to work out a deal for you to get Staley.
Well, let's talk about your boys.
Uh-oh, what boys?
I'm just talking about it's playoff time. So, and right now I'm actually watching schedule. Because the Heat and the 76ers are doing the play-in game. The Hawks and the Bulls are going to have one a little bit later. So, the Lakers won last night. So they took the 7th seed. Dude,
damn right.
They were in a playoff. How you going? You can't. What you cussing about?
I said damn right.
They're in a play-in tournament.
That's all right.
Dude, that's like the cats in the March Madness that play at their own school to get to play the number one seed.
Yeah, I understand.
Anyway, so they're going to play.
Why are you rolling your eyes?
Yeah, because they're going to play the Nuggets, and your boy Jokey is going to dominate them again.
Maybe.
The Pelicans and the Kings are going to play, I guess, tomorrow to decide who's going to play Oklahoma. Now,
you a hater.
I ain't a hater. I'm just telling the truth. OKC
you a hater,
has man. Got to be the most non-talked about number one seed ever. I didn't even know they were that good until because we were talking. And I said, let me just take a look and see who's, and OKC was leading the West. I had no idea. They are 2 years younger than any other team that's ever won a conference. That's how young that team is. That's scary, dude.
Yeah, it is.
That's real scary. Now, we're going to see what they do in the playoffs. They may not be built for the playoffs, because in the playoffs, you shorten that rotation, because they got a pretty deep and young bench as well. You got to shorten that rotation in the playoffs. Well, you don't have to, but that's usually what happens.
Yeah, that's because some other fools did it. Because if you notice, when Golden State went, they didn't shorten it. They expanded their bench. They was going deep. That's why they call it strength in numbers. If I were the coach, I'd play them the way they played. Just make sure it's more intense. They're playing better defense. Because OKC, to your point, they're good, they're young. And if they stay deep, I think they're going to be able to make some noise. But you got me kind of upset because you just totally dismissed my boy.
Who's your boy?
LeBron.
Okay.
Just because he's 50 years old. Please explain. Show me the way.
When Tiger stopped winning, they kept talking about it. Mm-hmm. Even though Tiger did not have a chance in hell of winning the Masters this year. Mm-hmm.
No,
the boy can barely walk.
Yeah.
But they still talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Because that's the impact he had on the game.
Well, and that's the draw. When Tiger's playing, people tune in. Right. That's what LeBron is now. He's not winning a championship. Not with the Lakers, not the way they set up, and not with him. He's got to become I'm trying to think of who I can think of a star player that took a lesser role and still went on to win a championship. I don't know if there's any. That a guy that was the lead of a team had to realize I'm not that dude anymore.
LeBron wants to do that with the Lakers. He's trying to give it to AD.
Who, street clothes?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That dude can't stay healthy.
Well, this year he did. He only missed six games.
Yeah, he did. You're right. This year he did.
This year?
Yeah, this year he
did. Maybe that's an anomaly. I don't know.
I only saw the Lakers play once this year when they played the Magic, and they pretty much threw in the towel with like 5 minutes left. They pulled everybody out.
Who, the Lakers did?
Yeah, it was early in the season. It was real early in the season. See, and so it could have been like, okay, we down by 10. Let's go ahead and rest as opposed to, you know, this ain't on national TV. Let's save everybody for when we go down to play Miami when that's going to be on TNT. Because the Magic don't get TNT. Magic get NBA League. And they get, you know, they had one game on the NBA channel. They had one game.
Oh, okay.
The rest, you had to have NBA League pass or live in the city that they were playing or playing, you know, against.
Yeah. But anyway, man, yeah, so the Thunder, I believe they're going to do some work.
Well,
I got a feeling.
They got to play either Sacramento or the Pelicans. I'm sure the NBA is hoping the Pelicans, because then you got that young cat on OKC against the young
Zion.
Yeah, on the Pelicans.
Zion hurt. He ain't about to play no more this season.
You think he done? Because he got hurt in the game against the Lakers?
Yeah.
He did 40, didn't he? He shot 40 on
him. He dropped 40
on him. Yeah, I'm sure he's trying to lead the Pelicans. How I dropped 40 and we still lost?
Well, that happens.
It does happen, but if I am playing for a team and I drop 40, come on. I got 40. I just need y'all to get just a little bit.
All I need y'all is to get 80 points collectively.
Come on.
Maybe we should win.
Anyway, so we don't know who they're playing yet, but the other matchup is the Suns and Minnesota, which I like, and the Clippers and Dallas.
Man, this is gonna be some dope playoffs.
I think Minnesota's coming out. I ain't gonna lie to you. I like Minnesota.
You like Minnesota?
Well, nah. You know what? Let me shut up.
You said Minnesota. Wait a minute. Hold on. Back up, Tom. You said they're playing the Suns.
Yeah.
Oh, Minnesota winning that.
No. I mean, overall, I was going to say who I like coming out of the West. But then I looked at it again. No, I like Denver again.
Yeah. Minnesota's banged up. I think that would be their biggest threat because they got a lot of size.
Well, that's their next, you know, if they beat the Suns and the Denver beats the Lakers, then that's the next matchup. So that's what I was like. If it was like the conference final. Because the conference final, anything can happen. You know, you one game away. Anything can happen. But, yeah, I like Denver coming out of the West. And in the East, now, let me just say this, because I was thinking about this the other day. My teams are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Orlando Magic, the Atlanta Braves. Those are my teams. If the Tampa Lightning are in the playoffs, I might watch a period. I can't watch a whole hockey game. It's just too much. Those are my teams. All I ask from my teams is give me a reason to cheer in the postseason. That's all I ask. I ain't asking you to win the championship. Give me a reason to cheer in the postseason. And I got you. I'm going to buy a shirt. You know, I'll give my whatever I got to do. I'm going to do it.
So two out of those three give you a lot of reasons to cheer in the postseason.
Well, I mean, all three have been in the postseason within the last year.
Well, did Orlando give you something to cheer about last year?
No, which is good, because that's why we need... We honestly need one more losing season, because I think we need one more piece. If you go through the starting lineup of the Magic, they're all lottery picks. That's what happens when you lose.
Yeah, I get that.
You get lottery picks, and that's what they got. They got... Now, the dude actually on the team that's my boy that I think is really the key is the dude from Germany. Wagner, Frank, him and his Mo and Frank, you know, him and his brother. I think those are he is the key. I like our number one pick, but I don't think he's the key yet. He's getting there, but he ain't ready to take over games yet. Mm-hmm. He's getting there though.
Yeah.
But you know, because the Magic at one point had gotten to a point where they were a playoff team, like they were always a low seed in the playoffs, but they had no chance of going anywhere. And they broke them up. And the coach left because he was like, I'm not trying to do a rebuild, but this rebuild seems to be working.
Yeah, Magic, I'm pleasantly surprised to see how well they're doing. Although I will go back and tell you, if they would have stuck with Skip Tumalu in the finals instead of bringing old boy back, you know, I know old boy, you know, hey, Skip Tumalu was balling that whole playoffs, and they're going to put him on the bench because old boy came back. He was kind of, I guess he came back from injury, but I forgot his name. He came back from injury. What's his name? Who won the man with Superman? Dwight Howard won in a play. And I'm like, I wouldn't listen to Dwight Howard. Skip to my Lou was balling. Shoot. They would have won a championship.
Dwight Howard ruined so many careers.
Skip to my Lou. If they would have stayed with Skip to my Lou, they would have won that chip. And then I've been back a Magic fan again because they would atone for what they did with Shaq and Penny. That's why I can't mess with the Magic, because how they did Penny and Shaq. DeVos didn't want to write the fool a $100 million check. Talking about he ain't worth that. I ain't write nobody a $100 million check. That's why your ass ain't never won a
check.
That's
why you ain't won nothing.
You know, I wasn't going to write Shaq a $100 million. You know, I'm sorry. I digress. Because, you know, it's just that's why I can't fool with Orlando, man. I can't fool with him. DeVos still on the team, don't he?
Yeah, he's still on the team. That's why Shaq and what's his name? I think he still lives in Orlando with his beautiful wife. Grant Hill. Shaq and Grant Hill be talking about, let's buy the Magic.
Yeah.
I will say this. I don't know how I felt about them retiring Shaq's number. He ain't won a championship. But I guess you still, I guess you still do that. I don't know what records he still holds, because I think Dwight might have busted a lot of his records. But
yeah,
he was the first person to play for Orlando that brought the national stage to gravitas. Orlando. Yeah, brought us we got Shaq.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
anyway, back to, like I said, they give me a reason to cheer. So they're in there. My team, Orlando, they're playing Cleveland. It's a 4-5. Anything can happen. Anything can happen. But to be realistic, I love the way the Knicks are playing. That cat on the Knicks is
Brunson.
Man, that dude plays ball. I mean, he play like the cat that, you know, you be driving in the morning going to work and you see the cat, he already at the court.
Yeah.
Shooting.
Yeah.
And you driving home so you can come out and play. He been there all day running.
Yeah.
You just getting off work like, damn, okay, you've been here. Dude, I saw you when I was going in.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you coming out to play, he's still running like it's the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
and
how
then
that
you go out and you go out there to play and he's smoking.
Yeah, he's smoking. He's been there all day.
All day.
All day.
Smelling like funky wet feet. You know what I'm saying? He out there all day, everything, you know, socks up to his knees and everything, looking crazy. Got suspenders on his shorts and everything. You know.
So right now in the play-in, the 76ers came back. They were down by like 15. It's 86-85, 76ers over the Heat in the play-in. Wow. Okay. All right, 76ers. We'll see.
I hope they beat the Heat.
You don't like the Heat?
I like the Heat. I mean, you know, now, I want to see the 76ers do something.
We were talking about this before we came on the air about the cat that got suspended for life. Well, not suspended.
He got banned. He got banned for life. And when his name, you said Porter, right?
Yeah, what's this dude's name? Hold on, banned.
And if I believe he has a brother.
Played for the Toronto Raptors, John Tay Porter.
And Michael Porter Jr. is his brother, I believe.
What? That's his brother?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure.
So, he's banned for life. Dude, at the Malice of the Palace, somebody hit a fan and he only got 14 games? This fool banned for life.
His older brother is Michael Porter Jr.
Wow.
I'm like, dude, if you need money, go hit up your brother.
So let's talk about the league investigation revealed Porter placed at least 13 bets on NBA games using Associates online betting account. The bets ranged from $15 to $22,000, totaling $54,094, according to the league. The NBA said the total payout for those bets was $76,059, net winnings a whopping $21,965.
Mm.
His Toronto Raptors, yeah, Denver Nuggets, Michael Porter Jr. is his brother. His Toronto Raptors contract was for like $400,000. But like you were saying earlier, March 20th game against Sacramento Kings, another bettor privy to the information placed an $80,000 same game parlay bet that featured unders on Porter statistics and would win $1.1 million. Now that in that he said he just revealed information about his own health to a known sports bettor ahead of the game. But I hope he got a piece of that 1.1. Because not only did you lose that, if you could have stayed in the league long enough, I don't know how long he's in the league, the pension. Dude, that's the money, is the pension. The medical, the health care, that's the money.
I mean, he was playing for the league minimum, basically, $400,000.
Yeah.
That's some good money.
Dude, that's still, you stealing money. You are stealing money, and you're probably only stealing money because of your brother. They're like, maybe I can turn him into his brother. Maybe he's got the same...
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Well, nobody thought he was going to turn him into his brother because if you only playing 1 minute a game, if that, you know what I'm saying?
Well, no, I mean, over time. You know,
No. That's like Giannis. Giannis got his brother on the same team. I don't even know what his brother looked like, man. He's so far down the bench.
Dude, you remember that white dude that used to go to every team with Dennis Rodman? You remember that dude? He went to Dallas with Dennis. He went to Chicago with Dennis. I guess that was one of Dennis's things. So he would be on the team. But I forgot. Was it San Antonio? Somebody didn't take him. But most of the time, he would be on the team. He was Dennis's cheering section, basically. This white dude. This tall white dude. And he was on the team getting paid. I bet you that dude don't even talk to Dennis no more. But, yeah, this is crazy. But, you know, with all the betting, literally, I was looking before we started. I'm looking at the TV, looking at, you know, the games coming up. They're actually going to have a game. It's going to be on Max, which is HBO's, you know, app. It's called Max. They're going to have a game, the game between the Pelicans and Sacramento, called betting, basically. So I'm assuming it's going to keep track of all the parlays and everything going while the game is going. Dude, I mean, you once y'all opened that door, you knew somebody was going to walk through it.
Yeah, however, Tom, this is what it looks like. If you're going to sit up there and bet $80,000 on somebody who don't play on a parlay, see, that doesn't happen. Those bets do not happen.
Well, I mean, so, I understand that. I understand why they called him. I'm just saying, once you make that deal, you know this is going to be a problem. Because this is on the tip of the iceberg.
I don't think it's the tip of the iceberg, man. And I don't know if it's going to be that much of a problem just because there's so many eyes on it now. And they can catch people like this, especially if you're an athlete playing the sport and you're doing something, they're going to be able to catch it. How you think they're catching all these fools betting on football players betting, talking about, oh, they're suspended now. They're stupid. You don't bet. Number one, you don't bet in the facility where you work. Number two, you don't bet with your app on your own phone.
Idiot.
Number three, if you're going to have somebody who's going to place bets for you, then you need to be as far away, disconnected as possible, and make sure if they get caught, they do the time, not you. You know, just like your boy right now for the Dodgers. You know, his interpreter, his best friend, right? You know, taking money out of his bank account to, you know,
to gamble.
You know what I'm saying? Now, personally, now I can't. You know, if I lived in Japan, I can't read the language. I can count. Now, you know, Japan is that now? Which one is the yen? Is that China or is it Japan? Which one? Right.
The yen is Japan, I think.
I think that might be right. I might be wrong, but I tell you what, though, if that should say 5, and now I know I'm supposed to have 5, but I only got 2. You know what I'm saying? Right? Like, you know what I'm saying? What? Yeah, you know, like, wait a minute. What's, you know, hold on. What's going on? You know, and I'll be, Tommy, if you was my boy, we best friends. And, you know, and we boys, and I got $100 million in the bank, and I'm missing $18 million of it. That mean I got $82 million? You know, I got 82. I'm like, wait a minute, Tom, what's going on?
Where's my money?
Where's my money? I mean, bank. I love you, bank. But you got $18 million of my money.
I've taken that $18 million and I've invested it for you. It's not liquid right now, but I'll get it back to you.
Tommy, I love you.
I need my money.
Nephew, you got to get out this house. I need to get out this house right now before I put your ass in jail. I love you. I ain't going to mess with you. But you got to go. You took $18 million.
You know, first off, let me tell you something. If I'm making, and you know, I'm talking crap, but I just believe my job that's going to pay me millions of dollars takes me to a country that I don't know the language, I ain't gonna lie, Devon, I'm learning that language. I couldn't enjoy myself if I had somebody to tell me what other people are saying to me. It would drive me crazy.
Yeah.
Dude, at some point, now, of course, for the interpreter, he like, yeah, I don't want this fool ever to learn this language because this is my job to interpret for him. But, I mean, it's the same thing with Acuna that plays for the Braves. But he's learning the language, at least. But I think he learned it more to talk to women. I ain't gonna lie to you. I really think that's why. Because he got married now. He did get married. But I really believe he learned the language to talk to women.
Well, Tommy, I don't care if I learned the language or not.
But if you learned the language, I think it'd be harder to embezzle money from you. If you can't read what the contract says in English, it make it real easy to take your money.
Well, that way, that's why you got a team. Everybody look over everybody, unless everybody in cahoots to get you. Now, that can happen, too.
How much money
did they
say?
You can read, and everybody can be in cahoots to get you and take your money. There's a whole lot of educated fools out here, Tommy. Come on, Tommy. Ooh, you know.
What was I about to say? How much was it that he embezzled?
I think it was $18 million. I don't know. Some in the teens.
Dude, you might get 5 out of my account. $5. But I'm going to miss $18 million.
That's my point.
You might even get $1,000. And I might not even look. You know, I might be like, okay, I was off. But I'm going to miss $18 million.
To Shohei's... Excuse me. This happened over a period of time, though. So it was probably $100,000 here, or whatever there. And sometimes, you know, when you're dealing with millions and you get $100,000, no, I'm still gonna miss it, though. You know. But however, you know, hey, old boy got away with it. He's about to go to jail. Did Shohei know something about it? He probably did. He probably was going to pay off the man debt. Possibly. The bottom line, he wasn't the one betting. I don't believe he was the one betting and lost the money. I believe it was the guy. And I truly think that he wanted to help his friend out. But they said, you know, this lawyer said, no, you can't say that.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, Anyway, back to basketball. Out the East, the Knicks.
Okay, that's who you got?
I got the Knicks out the East, and I got Joker and the Nuggets out the West.
I got Boston and I guess I'm going with Boston and Denver.
Boston and Denver?
I'm going with Boston and Denver.
Okay. Okay. All right. But we'll watch these playoffs. Now, the next time we talk, it'll be after the draft, and we can talk about who won the offseason in the NFL.
Oh, man. Boy, look at here. This draft going to be crazy for me because I know there's a couple people I want to see go to certain teams or whatever, so this is going to be interesting.
You know, the draft's so big now. It's so big, I can't even call it anymore. It's not like in the old days when, like, you really knew who was going to be number one. I mean, you know, Williams is going to be number one to
Chicago. Yeah,
to Chicago. But after that, it's, you know, I think all the top quarterbacks are going to go in the top 10 or at least top 15. But where they go, I'm not positive.
Yeah. I'm with you when you're right. I'm with you, Wayne, right? So, dude, the NFL.
Well, we'll get on that next time. We'll get on that next time.
I can't wait. I mean, I feel like a base who, I don't have my supply. You know, I'm all shriveled up. Everything, man. I'm serious, man. That's how I feel right now. I mean, basketball is okay. Baseball, yeah. But, man, I missed the NFL already.
Yeah, the NFL is just something about it. Just
yeah,
something about football. And I don't know if it's because we grew up in the South, but basketball, I can watch my team.
Yeah.
And maybe the finals. And maybe when LeBron was this, you know, really in his prime, I could watch his team. But right. Football, dude, I can watch almost any football.
Me too.
I can pretty much watch any football. Hey, man, Jeff, I can't watch this UFL. It's just
I can watch that. I can watch Pee Wee.
As long as they're good.
As long as they're good. I can watch it. I can watch it, man. I'm with oh, man, but off the thing of football, I got to brag about my boy.
Oh, what's up?
Old boy got accepted to Northwestern. USC.
What?
Yeah, Trojans got accepted to Syracuse.
Wow.
And they going to give him a scholarship. Of course, you already know about Howard. Mm-hmm. And he got NYU. And he got Pace. So it was like, yeah, I was so proud of that boy. I was like, okay, all right, we about to do something. Only one I'm mad at, Michigan. Then hit him up.
Yeah, screw Michigan. So where does he want to go?
It's between Howard and NYU.
Man, tell that boy to go to NYU. I mean, I understand why you want him to go to Howard, but dude, go to NYU. Dude, that was my dream school. NYU.
Yeah, that was my dream school for all grad. But Tisch is dope. That Tisch school, performing arts, all that, it is dope.
Yeah, but however, he wants a campus.
He wants a campus life.
Yeah.
And New York City, the city is the campus. It doesn't have a campus like a Howard.
Yeah.
Or like a USC. Yeah. Or like a Syracuse.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, that's what he wants. But NYU is in the area where he wants to go and do his profession.
That's the hardest part for him.
Because he can start doing auditions.
He could do that so Washington, D.C. has the most theaters of any city in the United States besides New York City.
Really?
No one. I didn't know that.
I didn't either. Yeah, but I would believe it because it is a very cultural city. That is true. It's very cultural. But you know what? I mean, as far as you were saying, like, I want him to go to Howard so he can be himself. Great happiness and all that, but you can go visit Howard.
Yeah, but
you go to homecoming. You go to homecoming.
You know, I want him. He's like, I'm a theater kid. He's like, I love theater, but I'm not a theater kid. So he doesn't want to just hang out at the theater all the time. He'll be there, rehearse. He'll put in the work. He'll put in the work. But he's like, I just don't want to hang out with them all the time. I want to do leadership things. I want to be, you know, whatever. He might join a fraternity. I don't know. The thing is, I understand. So he wants to do all that.
I understand, you know, all that.
But NYU is, he loves it. He does love New York City.
I can't see why he would not, because he has so many options in that city.
Yeah, he does. He does. He does. He does.
Now, you know. And me as a father, okay, who giving you money? Okay, that is where you're going.
And how right now NYU is not giving him any money. So, Howard is.
Yeah, Howard is where you're going. Now, you know, my dad tried to get my sister to go to Bethune because they were giving her money. You know, Boosie was like, I ain't going to, you know, damn Bethune. Nothing against Bethune. I love Bethune Cookman. That's not me. I'm just talking about my sister. I knew she was not going to an HBCU. She had enough of us at Winter Park Junior. She was through with black people after Winter Park Junior High. Really? Yeah, she was good. She was like, take me to Winter Park High.
Winter Park Junior was only 10% black.
Yeah, but Winter Park High was what, 5?
Right.
Exactly. She was good with y'all after Winter Park Junior.
It was too many of y'all. It was too many black people at Winter Park Junior High School.
I am good with y'all.
She was good with the 100 people that was
there. Yes, she was good with y'all. Y'all know how you know how y'all act. She was like, I am good. I ain't no damn way you get me in Bethune Cookman. I don't care what they trying what, to, you, what money they trying to give you.
I don't care if they giving away shit.
I'm not going
to BCC. Damn.
Anyway, and you know, that could have been just because it was too close to home. It might not have just been because it's HBCU, but you know, Lucy wanted, you know, she wanted to go to Emory. She really wanted to be in DC, which she was for a while at American. So, but anyway, that's great. I'll be interested to see where he ends up going, but I'm sure wherever he does go, he's going to do great.
He's going to do great.
So, yeah. Congratulations, young man. You doing your damn thing.
Yeah, you doing, yeah, because your dad sure didn't have them options coming out of high school.
Yes, that is some serious options to deal with.
You know, and kids
today start their journey earlier than we did because you have so much information now that they can get a hold of. How did we learn about colleges when we were growing up?
Watching football.
No. How do we learn about, okay, how much does it cost? Where, you know, what's the SAT score? Where did you have to go?
Guidance counselor.
No, dude, you didn't have one of them books?
What books?
The college
I mean, my
book.
Mom. I had the college book.
Because I'm sure she brought one home from the library.
You know, exactly. Yeah. My mom's a librarian. Yeah, so for my mom.
That's how I learned. I went through them. And I aligned up my scores with the schools that would accept me. That's exactly what I did. You got to visit schools. I really didn't visit schools.
I only visit University of Florida. That's because they asked me to come up. You know, I was one of those, you know, they had, you know, this group of black kids come up who were supposed to be top students in the state or something like that. I don't know how I got in it, but I was there.
They were like, all the Negroes on one bus, bring them up for the weekend.
Exactly. And we had a ball, man. And I considered University of Florida. I really did. And
no,
I was really
didn't.
Thinking.
Yeah, don't, I start, did don't try to change the world.
I consider.
Dude, you've been talking about Morehouse since the first time you ever talked about a college. You talked about Morehouse.
Yes. So there was only 3 schools I applied to. Maybe 4. Howard, Morehouse, U of F, and FAM.
You applied to FAM?
I don't even know if I don't think, maybe I didn't apply to FAM. Maybe it was only 3. Because my mom was like, we ain't paying for all the college applications. So,
how much were your son's college applications? I know they were crazy. Them schools you named, I know those applications were expensive.
Yeah, they were. And I mean, he applied to like 12 schools or so.
God.
You know, but I was really proud when he got into Northwestern, because that's a
hell of a school.
And he got waitlisted at Brown. Mm. You know, so I'm proud of him. I'm really proud.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. You know.
Well, now
by the time your son go to school, you're gonna be in a wheelchair and shit.
Dude, let me tell you something. Georgia, dude, my legs are fine. Georgia has the I can't remember the name of the program. But basically if they keep a certain average in high school, Georgia will pay for any Georgia state school they can get into.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's where he will be going. If he want me to pay. Unfortunately, wow. I am not Tom Mitchell Sr. I am not Hattie Mitchell. Dad is not sending my if he gets into Howard and they ain't giving no money, he will not see Howard's campus except for homecoming. I'll sponsor the trip for homecoming, but that's about it. He will be going to school somewhere within the vicinity of the state of Georgia, along with his sister. Unless, you know, some other school want to give him money.
So it has to be a state school.
Well,
so.
No, I'm just saying it. Wherever the scholarship is, that's where they are going. Because there will not be any...
You say that now.
No, I can say it whenever. Because...
I said that too. I said the same thing myself. Until these fools, you know, when they become getting high school and you want to see the best for your kid and you want to support them. And if they, unless they doing something crazy, then you're like, okay, you're going to find a way. I don't know about Jasmine,
but this fool that sleep on his couch over here.
Trey
going wherever dad says. I don't give a crap.
Oh, that ain't going to happen. Because Trey is already, you know, contrarian already. He ain't doing it.
Well,
whatever you say.
That's way off. But that right now, that's the plan. You're going to get good grades. If dad got to sit down with you every night and do your homework, you're going to get these grades so that you can get a scholarship to in-state. That's your first option. Let's just put it
that way.
Well,
number one.
That's your first option.
Number one. Tommy, dad ain't sitting down to do nobody homework because he barely did his own homework.
I already do that with him. I already sit down with him every night. Dude, the fact that you just said that tells you why I'm doing it. Because I know where that shit, I know where it leads.
How old is Trey?
Trey's four. Going to be five in next month. He's going to be five next month. We sit down, because this kid is going to read before he hits kindergarten.
So 14 years, you'll be 70.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't going to be sitting down in high school doing homework.
Well, let me say this. At least through junior high. High school, you got to let them go and they got to figure it out. But as long as I can do the math, as long as I can figure it out, I'm going to do it with him. If I got to read up to learn it, but this is what I learned dealing with the rich kids. Yeah, they're going
to tutors.
Dealing with the rich kids that I dealt with at Howard, what I learned was their parents push into, because they just push them to get them through, because once they get them through, they'll get a good job. That's all they did. Mm-hmm. Them kids were no smarter than me, but their parents understood, push them, get them through it, and they'll figure it out.
Yeah, but
and that's
you know
my
what?
Plan.
It's not really pushing. It's resources.
True. There you go. Resources. There you go.
It's resources.
So yeah, I'm hoping, like your son did, he finds something that really interests him.
Yep.
You know, everybody, you know, of course, down here, oh, he's a fast runner. He's going to be on track. I don't give a damn if that kid ever plays a sport. I need him to get these books so that he can support himself.
I'm glad you're like that because that's a lot of parents. Their world revolves around AAU and they want their kid to start and this and that. And the kids out here flunking out of school, they ain't going to go nowhere anyway.
Yeah, you giving them one option.
Yeah. You got kids who are in these independent schools or private schools and they're getting C's. You can't do that. Mm-mm. So only thing advice and I give the general public, if you had kids, whether they are gifted athletically or whatnot, that's great. You got to especially if they're in great schools, make sure they take advantage of the resources and everything they have at those schools. Make sure the academics come first, you know, because everybody worried about, oh, I want my kid to play D1. Miss Smith, your kid ain't good.
He ain't playing D nothing.
He ain't playing D nothing.
He get D's, but he ain't playing D1. Yeah. The only D he gonna be is in D's on that report card.
when I see these parents who go to these independent schools, they have these kids in independent schools, they reclass, they do everything for sports, mm-hmm. but they're not doing this on the academic side. And that's the sad part about it. We relying on running, jumping, and whatnot. That ain't going to get you anywhere. It might get you somewhere for a very few, for that 0.001%. But everybody else, it's the academic part. You want to need to develop their mind, the critical thinking, being able to write well. Those are the things that count. But, you know, hey, who am I?
You just bait.
I'm just bait.
And I'm just Mitch. And I ain't gonna lie, back. I gotta go. This kid probably been peed on his pants, fell asleep. Because I usually make him go to the bathroom, and we've been talking, so he probably done peed in his pants. But, hey, man, as always, it's great.
All right, see ya. Gaga, goo goo.
Goo goo, gaga. We'll holler at you in a couple of weeks. Peace.
Yes.